Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
With a stroke of the pen, Governor Roy Cooper signs a mobile sports betting bill into law. But don't download any apps just yet. We'll tell you what's behind the delay.
Plus, we're learning more about a plan that could ease road congestion when organizers hope to get the project rolling.
It's nice in the WRAL gardens right now, but later this afternoon, thunderstorms are likely. I'll show you who may see those.
We have a live picture for you right now from Charlotte, where Governor Cooper just signed the state's mobile betting bill into law. We'll get you those pictures coming up. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Ken Smith is in the WRAL Live Center with how much money this law could generate for the state, Ken, and when you can start betting on your phone.
Renee and Michelle and Jeff, the governor's signature makes it official, but you can't place those bets just yet. You know, the idea of sports betting in North Carolina was just that, an idea for a very long time. It fell one vote short during the last General Assembly, but this time the GOP-led General Assembly had the votes, and there's a reason Governor Cooper picked Charlotte to sign this bill into law.
We know the Charlotte area has become a place for professional sports, whether it be soccer, football, basketball, golf, and maybe in the future tennis. So we know that this is a place that is an economic engine for North Carolina and a place where professional sports already are growing and has the potential to grow even more.
Well, this law allows you to bet on professional and college sports through mobile apps and at 8 in-person locations. According to the numbers, this bill will generate $100 million in taxes by the year 2029. But again, gambling won't start until at least January because that'll take some time for the State Lottery Commission to get it all set up. Well, WRAL's Matt Tallham was there for that signing, and look for a live report from him coming up at the 12:30 half hour.
Thanks, Ken. We look forward to that. A plan to ease traffic backups in the Triangle isn't getting rave reviews. The Durham-Chapel Hill-Carrboro Metropolitan Planning Organization discussed the state's redesign idea this morning. WRAL's Monica Casey was there. And Monica, if not rave reviews, what are their concerns?
Well, NCDOT shared this redesign of the 15501 interchange with I-40. Local leaders in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Durham say almost none of this plan fits with their vision for the area. The proposed change would create a diverging diamond on those major roads, along with a new road connecting Easttown Drive and New Hope Commons Drive. Chapel Hill's mayor has aired concerns about the timing, the process, the lack of multimodal options for buses, bikes, and pedestrians, and the concerns about a preservation of a natural heritage area there. At today's MPO meeting, other board members discussed their issues.
Given the failures we've had with the light rail, to set ourselves up for a major change being perceived as a failure by the public just will really continue to disillusion them in our processes.
NCDOT sent this diagram to the town of Chapel Hill showing the proposal at the end of May with a deadline of June 9th to provide the preliminary public comments. Engineers emphasized today that this is preliminary and there will be many more conversations to come. Today, the MPO agreed to schedule another meeting with NCDOT for June 27th to go point by point through their concerns with this plan. And they certainly have a lot of public comment to go through as well. Jeff?
Yeah, a lot of discussion still left. Monica Casey live in Durham for us this noon. Monica, thank you. A plan to speed up traffic by turning a congested stretch of Capitol Boulevard into a freeway is hitting a roadblock. The DOT's new 10-year plan allocates money toward completing one section of the expansion just above I-540 in North Raleigh. But it removes funding from two sections of the freeway up to Wake Forest because of rising costs. So that means those sections will have to compete all over again with other transportation projects across the state for future funding.
Well, some of you will need the umbrella today. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Gardens with a look at who has the best chance for storms. It's sunny now, Elizabeth, but that could change.
It's beautiful in the gardens right now. There have been people wandering around. It is going to be a warm day. Highs are going to climb to around 90 degrees, but we will have the potential for some thunderstorms. We have a front that'll start to lift northward, and that will bring us the chance. Let's take a look at satellite and radar, and it shows us what the picture is right now in terms of what's happening out there. You can see plenty of rain down into South Carolina. You can see it's drifting off toward the coast, but gradually this whole thing will lift northward, and that's going to bring us a chance of some thunderstorms this afternoon. We don't have a level one or any risk for severe storms in our viewing area right now. Most of this looks like it's going to be to the south or anything that would be very heavy. This is our lunchtime view of Future Cast, and we'll move that ahead, and you can see the clouds increase. By 3 o'clock, there could be an isolated shower or thunderstorm well to the south down around Fayetteville or Clinton, and then things are pretty quiet, it looks like, for the most part during the evening commute. But by the time we get to the evening, 7, 8, 9 o'clock, you can see a heavier band of rain and thunderstorms, especially in our southern counties from Raleigh down toward Fayetteville and Clinton and back up toward Goldsboro and even Rocky Mount. That's likely to continue for several hours and then fizzle out by midnight. We also have the chance of some isolated storms tomorrow. We'll walk through tomorrow coming up in just a second. We do have, of course, that potential to have a warm afternoon, and we'll see our temperatures climbing to around 90 degrees. I'll show you how many 90-degree days we have in the seven-day forecast coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Police say a wanted felon is in the hospital after leading them on a high-speed chase across two counties. WRO's Brian Schrader is here now with a look at how that chase ended. Brian.
Jeff, Roxborough police say this all started around 4 o'clock this morning. Officers tried to stop 21-year-old Anthony Williams of Durham for speeding. And they say that Williams then led them on a chase into Durham at speeds reaching 115 miles an hour at times. Police say that the car crashed on Midland Terrace at Camden Avenue. That car flipped several times in front of a Durham fire station. And this video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker shows just how badly damaged that car was. Now, at last check, Williams was at Duke Hospital in critical condition. We've since learned that he was wanted on felony warrants in Durham and in Martinsville, Virginia. The charges include breaking and entering, abduction, and using a firearm while committing an assault. Police said that they found drugs and guns in Williams' car this morning, and he is facing several new charges.
All right, Brian, thanks for that information. We also have a live picture right now from the Carr Scott Building at the State Fairgrounds in Raleigh. A special memorial just wrapped up minutes ago for a Wake County canine officer killed in the line of duty. Canine Santos was accidentally shot by a Knightdale police officer while assisting with an investigation.
And we're following some breaking news here in the WRL Live Center involving the nation's largest Protestant denomination. We're talking about the Southern Baptist Convention voting overwhelmingly today to uphold the expulsion of at least five churches for having female pastors. Now, the churches include Saddleback Church, led by Rick Warren. That name sounds familiar. He wrote the book, A Purpose-Driven Life, along with several other books. Another church out of Louisville, Fern Creek Baptist Church, and three others were also expelled. Pastor Warren and the pastor from Fern Creek appealed that decision, but today SBC officials confirming members voted overwhelmingly to uphold the expulsions of those five churches for having women leading congregations.
Former President Trump is back in New Jersey after pleading not guilty on federal charges. Trump was arrested and arraigned in Miami, Florida, then delivered remarks at his New Jersey golf club. As Bree Jackson reports, he did not use his speech to deny that he had classified documents.
Former President Trump addressed supporters after entering a not guilty plea in federal court.
This day will go down in infamy.
Prosecutors allege that Trump mishandled and schemed to hold on to classified documents. He faces 37 felony counts.
Charging a former president of the United States under the Espionage Act of 1917.
The historic arraignment drew crowds of opponents and supporters.
Freedom for Trump! Freedom for Trump!
Hello, everybody.
During a quick stop at a Cuban restaurant, some sang happy birthday to the former president.
Happy birthday!
Some birthday!
Who turned 77 today. Others sang his praises outside the federal courthouse.
The Trump train is not a train anymore. It's a starship. Actually, a fleet of starships.
On the campaign trail, his former running mate turned 2024 challenger Mike Pence is among those raising concerns.
I had a chance to review the indictment over the weekend, and this indictment contains serious charges. and I cannot defend what is alleged.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell avoided questions about Trump's indictment and says he wants to stay out of the 2024 race.
I'm not going to start commenting on the various candidates we have running for president. There are a lot of them. It's going to be interesting to watch.
People across the world are watching and waiting to see how the legal cases against the now twice indicted former president play out.
And Judge Eileen Cannon, a Trump-appointed judge, has been assigned to oversee the trial. In Washington, Bree Jackson, NBC News.
Co-defendant Walt Nauta was also in the courtroom. He's been with the former president since the White House. Nauta is charged with 6 counts of conspiring with Trump to keep the federal government from getting the documents. He'll return to court later this month to be arraigned.
And more bad news for the former president. A federal judge now says E. Jean Carroll can amend her defamation lawsuit against Trump. The judge granted that motion yesterday. The request for the amended suit comes after comments Trump made on CNN, where he denied knowing Carroll, let alone raping her, and calling her story fake, made up, and created by a whack job. Carroll and her lawyers are seeking $10 million in damages. Trump already lost $5 million to Carroll in the rape defamation lawsuit. The Federal Reserve is expected to skip another interest rate hike today. Analysts speculate the pause will come as policymakers examine the impact of 5% points worth of increases dating back to March of 2022. This morning, the producer price index fell below its pandemic average. The PPI measures the change in prices stores pay for goods and services, which in turn impacts how much we pay. It's the 11th consecutive month this inflation measure has decelerated.
Next at noon, the elementary school teacher in Virginia who was shot by her 6-year-old student has now resigned. Now her lawyers are explaining her next step.
Also, social media de-influencers. What are they and what are they trying to accomplish?
And a local high school featured on the Today Show, how East Wake High School started its graduation day by appearing on national TV.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
An elementary school teacher in Virginia who police say was shot by her 6-year-old student has resigned. Abby Zwerner has been on unpaid leave since the incident and is suing the Newport News Public School District over the issue. Maggie Marshall spoke with a labor employment attorney who explains why Zwerner's lawyers may have advised her not to take workers' compensation.
The first grade Virginia teacher that police say was shot by her student is no longer employed as a Richneck Elementary School teacher as of Monday, June 12th. The school district released these emails from March that show Abby Zwerner emailed them saying she wished to resign. The email was in response to the district's yearly intent form for teachers to fill out for their upcoming school year to see if their contract needs to be renewed. The district says they then followed up with 2 emails confirming her June separation date.
If you get an email from an employee that says, I would like to resign, then that means that they are resigning.
Zwerner's attorney, Jeffrey Bright, claims she has not been paid since February and claims she has not received a response for the disability claim she filed. Bright says she did not take workers' compensation because it would impact their negligence claims and the $40 million lawsuit they have filed against the school district.
The workers' comp bar would bar you from proceeding against your employer in court under kind of a negligence theory, because workers' comp is your remedy.
The school district says Zwerner refused to accept the workers' compensation. Because of that, the district says HR paid out her sick leave until it was depleted. Because she didn't accept the workers' comp, she was placed on unpaid FMLA, which they say was in accordance with federal law and school board policy.
If she had filed for workers' comp right after this happened, she couldn't turn around and sue them for negligence. And so it's kind of, she can't have her cake and eat it too. Had she elected to choose the workers' comp route, she would have gotten 60-something percent of her salary tax-free.
That was Maggie Marshall reporting. Meanwhile, the mother of the student accused in that shooting pleaded guilty on Monday to using marijuana while possessing a firearm. Attorneys for Deja Taylor accepted a plea agreement that calls for a sentence of 18 to 24 months in prison. Sentencing is scheduled for October 18.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, we want to take you to these new video coming in out of Greece. At least 78 people have died and dozens are feared missing off the coast of southern Greece. A fishing boat carrying migrants capsized and sank. A large search and rescue operation was launched in the area. Authorities say more than 100 people have been rescued so far following the nighttime incident. You see some of them there coming off that boat. Some of the survivors were hospitalized with symptoms of hypothermia. The vessel was reportedly sailing from eastern Libya headed to Italy. Now, the death toll could go up as that search and rescue mission continues.
Prosecutors investigating the Rust movie set shooting say they will soon decide whether to refile charges against Alec Baldwin. Prosecutors dismissed involuntary manslaughter charges against Baldwin back in April, but said at the time the decision was only temporary. The state's independent expert is testing the gun, and if it does not malfunction, he could face charges again. The Mississippi police officer who shot an 11-year-old boy last month is suspended without pay. Police Sergeant Greg Capers shot a Darian Murray in the chest on May 20th after the boy called for help with a domestic disturbance. Murray's family is still demanding that Capers be fired and not be allowed to serve as a law enforcement officer again. Darian survived but suffered several injuries, including a collapsed lung.
A huge honor for a local high school drama instructor. Olivia Bolito received the honorable mention in this year's Excellence in Theater Education Award presented by the Tony Awards. Bolito, who teaches at Durham's Jordan High School, was nominated by a former student, a colleague, and her principal. Her name and school will appear in the Tony Awards playbill and will be featured on TonyAwards.com. Congratulations. And more congratulations are in order. It is Graduation Nation. And the Today Show is highlighting high school graduates from around the country. And today, they picked East Wake High in Wendell.
We are spotlighting high schools on the morning of their graduation ceremony.
This morning, guys, we are headed to East Wake High in Wendell, North Carolina. Elizabeth Gardner from our Raleigh affiliate, WREL News. She's there.
How cool is that? When Principal Stacy Austin got the email from the Today Show, he thought it was a prank from his seniors. In the 8 o'clock hour, meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner introduced the class of 2023 to the entire country. Bailey Bray graduated at the top of that class.
This was so awesome. I feel like we've just been just beaten and bruised, you know, COVID, staying home, we don't get to do things. And now you're telling us for our graduation, we get to be on the news?
Yes, you do. East Wake's graduation is happening at 4 o'clock today. Congratulations to every single graduate. I mean, how cool is that to be featured on the Today Show?
And a national audience taking it all in. Elizabeth Gardner was right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
She's here in the WREL Gardens right now. Elizabeth, how cool was that?
It was so much fun. I mean, what a cool idea from the Today Show. They're picking schools all over the country and highlighting these kids. You know, these kids had to miss a lot of school due to the pandemic. They were shut down at home, so they've had a really different high school experience. So it's really nice to see them highlighted, and they were so excited. A lot of them, actually, that 4 o'clock graduation could be dealing with some scattered thunderstorms. Most of it looks like it'll be a little bit later on. But it's absolutely beautiful in the gardens right now. Of course, you've heard us talk about the century plant before, but it's still going strong out here. I was just looking at it, and you know, it looks like a lot of things. It looks like an asparagus stalk, and it actually comes from the asparagus family and the agave family. So some folks actually harvest the sweetness out of the leaves of these plants, and it's something that you don't see here a lot. It's really native to Mexico and to Texas, so it's kind of fun to have this right here in our backyard. Let's take a look at the storms that could be rolling through for us later on. We're going to start off with a look at what's going on out there in terms of our temperatures. It's already 84 degrees, but our dew point is at 57. And if our dew point's in the 50s this time of year, it feels more comfortable. It really feels fantastic in the shade, but standing here in the sun, I'll tell you, it does feel warm, and we're headed to 90 for the high this afternoon. It's 79 in Roxborough, it's 84 in Durham, 82 in Clinton, and 82 in Southern Pine. So really the warmest spot right now is here in the Triangle area. Once again, you can see those scattered showers and thunderstorms on the satellite and radar view way down into St. South Carolina. But our models continue to show that lifting northward as we head through the afternoon. That's a look at 3 o'clock and just a few isolated storms down to the south. They sort of come and go for a bit. And then, say, around dinner time or so, they become a bit more widespread. But mostly in our southern counties, that's going to be 9 o'clock. And we'll push it on out to midnight. And after that, they fizzle. But we could see more storms on Thursday. And I'll show you the timeline for that coming up in just a little bit. Definitely going to be a warm one. Lots of graduations. I think graduations go on down there at the convention center in Raleigh for at least a week or more. So if you're headed to a graduation, be sure to take along a raincoat or an umbrella if you're going to be there during the evening when you come out or even when you're headed there, depending all the time. There could be a few isolated showers or thunderstorms. Our muggy meter feeling good. It's right there in the comfy zone, but not likely to stay there much longer. We're going to see it becoming tolerable for us as we get to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which isn't bad, but it's a step up from comfortable. We do have lots of 90-degree days in this 7-day forecast, but we've had such a slow start to any intense heat. 90 today, 91 on Friday, 90 on Sunday. Of course, Saturday and Sunday are looking a little drier, definitely on the warm side. We may end up with some showers and thunderstorms on Monday and Tuesday. And of course, Monday is Juneteenth. We'll talk about the forecast for Juneteenth celebrations across our area and for Father's Day coming up.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you. Well, you may recall several months ago a no turn on red push by the city of Raleigh in the downtown area. Well, signs went up, speed limits have been reduced, and has there been any enforcement? Tonight at 6, Mark Boyle asked the city why so far no citations have been issued and if it's really because the signs are working.
Lightly sweetened, pesticide-free, low sodium, very low sodium. What do these food labels really mean and are they worth paying for it? 5 on Your Side will tell you tonight on WRL News at 5:30. Well, still ahead this noon, America has a new top-selling beer. How an ongoing controversy may have contributed to another slip in sales for Bud Light.
Plus, we are getting a rare look at history. Why historians say this stereograph gives a more complete look at the past. Check out this beautiful view. This is a live look at Carolina Beach. Look at all those beachgoers. Lucky people out there. You're watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Netflix will offer an elevated dining experience for people at a pop-up restaurant. The streaming service announced Netflix Bites will open June 30th in Los Angeles. The limited-time pop-up will present popular chefs from Netflix shows come together to create a tasty menu. Guests are required to make reservations with a non-refundable $25 deposit.
After nearly two decades at the top, Bud Light is no longer America's top-selling beer. Modelo's sales rose as fewer people were reaching for Bud Light. The drop in sales seems to coincide with Bud Light teaming up with transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney. The company gave Mulvaney a single can that was not for sale for the original to the general public and not part of a broad campaign. However, misinformation surrounding the sponsored post caused some people to swear off the brand. A new alternative on social media appears to be gaining a foothold. So-called de-influencers are trying to persuade the masses that materialistic and overpriced trends aren't in anymore. Typically, influencers promote products that are trendy or expensive. But de-influencers are advocating against buying goods that can encourage overconsumption or indulgence. The hashtag de-influencing has gained 582 million views on TikTok.
Coming up, online and mobile sports betting is now legal in the Tar Heel State, but sports fans will have to wait just a little longer to place those bets. Matt Talhelm joins us live in Charlotte with the reason.
Also, two more states approve first-of-its-kind laws. The issue's at the center of contention. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Sports betting is now legal in North Carolina. Within the last hour, Governor Roy Cooper signed a bill into law allowing people to gamble on amateur, college, and professional games.
And WRAL's Matt Talhelm is live in Charlotte right now where the governor signed that bill. Matt.
Yeah, Jeff and Michelle, this makes it legal for anyone with a phone to wager on sports here in our state. The governor came here to the Spectrum Center, home of the NBA's Charlotte Hornets, to sign that bill into law. This is one of 8 venues across the state where in-person sports betting will be allowed here now. Lawmakers and execs from some of the state's professional sports teams were here joining Governor Cooper for the signing of that bill. It legalizes mobile sports betting. The state will issue licenses to 12 operators at a fee of $1 million each. 2 of the venues where in-person sports wagering will now be allowed are in the Triangle at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary. Of course, that's where the NC Courage plays, and also the home of the Hurricanes and NC State men's basketball, PNC Arena.
Legislation will help these professional teams to grow even more and to thrive, and attracting more of them.
The state estimates this will bring in $100 million in taxes by the 5th year. Some of that will go to education and treatment programs for gambling addiction. Some of the money also will go to youth sports programs across the state. So while it is legal to place your bets today, you actually can't do it just yet. There has to be a whole system put in place here in the state. The NC Lottery Commission is working out the details of that to get this all up and running. So the earliest that you'd actually be able to start gambling on sports here in North Carolina is January 8th. I asked the governor, is he asking the commission to speed that up? He says he wants to make sure this is done right. The commission does have up to a year from today to put all of that into place.
Yes, so doing it by January seems like a pretty quick turnaround there. Matt Tallhelm live in Charlotte for us with that announcement. Matt, thank you. There's a growing effort to ban transgender women from playing on girls' sports teams in North Carolina schools and could get closer to becoming law today. The state Senate's Education Committee will debate a bill that affects transgender athletes in middle and high school as well as in college. Both the Senate and House have already passed their own version of the ban, but need to agree on the details before sending it to Governor Cooper's desk.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Franklin and Nash counties. Pregnant women and new mothers can get free parenting classes in Franklin County. The county health department is launching new initiatives called Ready, Set, Baby and Safe Sleep Baby. Certified instructors will teach classes on infant safe sleep, breastfeeding basics, and more. Classes will start next month, and you can learn more at the Franklin County's website. And if you're looking for a job, stop by Rocky Mount Job Fair today. It'll be in the Edgecombe Room in the Rocky Mount Event Center from 10 to 7 p.m. There are job openings in multiple city departments, police, fire, public works, and energy resources. This is a really good opportunity to expand your network or learn about the different city departments. There will be a prize drawing for those who stop by.
From a ban on banning books to a minimum wage pay raise for app-based food delivery workers, Jackie Banez takes a look at some of the new policies going into effect that are a first of their kind in the nation.
They're a first for the nation, with leaders in Illinois and New York City passing new laws and rules they hope will gain traction across the rest of the country.
Regimes ban books, not democracies.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signing a bill into law Monday, making the Prairie State the first in the U.S. to forbid public libraries from banning books.
Books about LGBTQ plus kids and teens. Books about the black experience and racism.
The new chapter in Illinois starts January 1st and prevents public libraries from receiving state funding if they ban reading materials based on partisan or doctrinal reasons.
The argument for banning books always begins with the claim that it's about protecting the children. Book bans are about censorship, marginalizing people.
Meanwhile, another big rule is coming to the Big Apple.
New York City is setting the tone for across America.
Starting July 12th, app-based food delivery workers for companies like Uber Eats and DoorDash will begin receiving a minimum pay rate of nearly $18 an hour.
It's good for the economy because when the deliveristas are paid the right salary, they're going to recycle the dollars back into the communities.
Bumping them up from the roughly $7 an hour they currently make. Pay rates will be adjusted every year based on inflation.
As Jackie Binder is reporting, and these mandates are getting some pushback, as you might guess. Some critics of the ban on banning books say that the law is politically motivated, while officials at Uber Eats and DoorDash say New York City's rule could eliminate jobs.
Coming up, doctors are waving the red flag over new cases of strep throat. We'll tell you how you can keep your family safe.
And a life-saving resource is needed constantly. It's blood, the type needed the most, and how you can help. CDC is issuing a warning about a rise in cases of invasive strep A. Doctors say this new strep is more severe and can even be deadly. Linda Schmidt reports it can be treated if it's caught in time.
We're seeing an increase in it across the region and across the country.
It is an increase of both regular strep throat as well as invasive group A strep, which is more severe and can be deadly.
When we find it in the muscle, in the tissue, or in the blood, it can be very dangerous. If it gets in the bloodstream, we can also see toxic shock syndrome, which can lead to organ failure, failure of kidneys, of the liver, of the lungs, and that can be deadly.
It can cause things like severe sepsis. The flesh-eating bacteria is another one.
Dr. Salvatore Pardo is the chair of emergency medicine with Long Island Jewish Valley Stream Hospital. He says invasive strep A is highly contagious, but it is treatable.
The good news is it's not a new strain. It is the same strain that we've seen in the past. We have good antibiotics to take care of it. It's easily treatable as long as it's identified.
The most at risk are people with compromised immune systems, but invasive strep A can strike anyone.
In the little kids, we're also seeing more commonly strep turn into pneumonia and pulmonary and respiratory infections.
That was Linda Schmidt reporting, and doctors say symptoms to include or to watch out for include sore throat, fever, chills, muscle aches, nausea, vomiting, and swollen skin.
Today is Blood Donor Day, and if you have never donated blood before, it is really worth considering. According to the Red Cross, every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood or platelets, and the most common type of blood requested is type O. To find a blood drive near you, you can call your local hospital or you can visit the Red Cross website.
Happening now in the WRA Live Center, just about 15 minutes ago, we told you about prosecutors possibly refiling charges against Alec Baldwin in that deadly shooting on the set of Rust. Well, now comes word from prosecutors about the armorer, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, was likely impaired on the day of that deadly shooting. In that same filing, prosecutors say Gutierrez Reed had a history of reckless behavior and was likely hungover when she put a live bullet in a gun that later killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Of course, that weapon was handled by actor Alec Baldwin during that deadly shooting.
All right, Ken, thank you. People in Kentucky are getting a more complete picture of history.
Plus, the roof of a high school collapses, injuring three people. What investigators say was going on when that roof caved in?
At least five people are recovering from injuries after a rollover crash involving a Chicago school bus. The crash happened Tuesday afternoon on the Dan Ryan Expressway. Illinois State Police say the bus was the only vehicle involved in that crash. Three children and two adults were hospitalized following that accident. All of them were in stable condition. It is still unclear what may have caused that crash. And part of a roof collapsed at a high school in the Houston metro area, killing one construction worker and injuring three others. This all happened at a high school where work was underway to build a gym. Officials say no students or staff were in the building when the roof collapsed. No word on the condition of the three injured workers or what may have caused that roof to collapse.
A rare photograph of a man enslaved by Henry Clay will soon be displayed for visitors at Ashland, Clay's estate in Lexington, Kentucky. Historians say the image provides a unique insight into the lives of enslaved people. Evelyn Schultz spoke with experts about the significance of this picture.
The stereograph features Aaron Dupuy, Henry Clay's personal coach driver. He was enslaved by the Clay family for more than six decades, along with his wife and two children. They are considered the best documented enslaved family at Ashland, although this stereograph is the only known image of Aaron. It was taken somewhere in downtown Lexington, most likely during Clay's funeral in 1852. As the foundation works to improve their storytelling of everyone who called Ashland home, historians hope this stereograph offers visitors insight into how Aaron Dupuy and his family lived.
we get the opportunity to see that. We may not always be able to know all of those elements. We can at least look at that and ask, what is Aaron trying to tell us here? That is not just the home of Henry Clay. It's the home of 122 people who were enslaved here through no choice of theirs. We have a duty to those people just as we do to Henry Clay, and we can learn as much from those people as we learn from Henry Clay.
That was Evelyn Schultz reporting, and more than 120 people were known to have been enslaved at Ashland. The stereograph of Aaron Dupuy will soon be displayed next to a drawing of his son Charles.
The White House hosted its first Juneteenth celebration concert on the White House South Lawn. I was born by the river in a little tent, and just like that, the river I've been running. I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river I've been running. I didn't do such a good job. She did. Jennifer Hudson did a better job than I did. The event concluded performances from the EGOT winner Jennifer Hudson, Tony winner Audra McDonald, and HBCUs. President Biden declared Juneteenth a federal holiday in 2021. It commemorates the day enslaved people in Galveston, Texas, learned they were free June 19, 1865, 2 years after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. Well, Governor Cooper will be in Raleigh tonight for a Juneteenth celebration. It's happening at the North Carolina Museum of History at 7 p.m. Tonight's program focuses on the significance of Juneteenth. Cooper and the interim director of the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C. will both deliver speeches.
Early afternoon right now, and it is beautiful outside. Elizabeth Gardner is just outside our building there in the WRL Gardens right out back. It's not going to last forever today. We're getting closer to that hour when some showers may be coming in.
And it's Jeff Hogan's birthday, too. Happy birthday, Jeff. I tried to order up a really lovely day, but yeah, there are going to be some thunderstorms later on. I'll tell you what, the thing about today is, yes, we're going to see a high of 90, but the humidity is low. So standing right here in the shade feels fantastic. And if you haven't been to our gardens lately, you know, we make a big hullabaloo about it during the azaleas in April. But I'll tell you what, the gardeners have been out here putting in clusters of hydrangeas everywhere, and it's absolutely stunning. So, you know, just because it isn't April and the azaleas aren't blooming, there's so much to see. And those are so pretty, aren't they? I love some hydrangeas. Let's take a look at what's happening across our area. I have the four panel WRL cameras up right now, and you can see what's happening out across the area. And we're seeing lots of sunshine everywhere right now. The rain is well to our south in South Carolina, so we have a ways to go. Looking pretty in Goldsboro, Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Lots of sunshine there in Apex as well. So, you know, the sun feels pretty toasty, but in the shade with that low humidity, it really feels just fine. Here's a look at the satellite and radar again. Like, most of the showers and thunderstorms are way down into South Carolina, so we still have a ways to go before we see too much of that rain. But here's a look at where the severe weather threat is. You can see where those storms are. You can see it's a level 4 risk all the way down there in the deep south across parts of Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. There's a level 1 for the coast down around Wilmington, but nothing for our viewing area. And it doesn't look like we would see anything severe here. We're just going to be sort of on the edge of that precipitation. So we'll move it on ahead and take a look at the computer model. And you can see as we switch that up that we start off, you know, fairly quiet right now. We're going to see increasing clouds as we head through the afternoon. You can see a few of those here now. Between now and 5 o'clock, there could be an isolated shower or thunderstorm, especially down to the south. By the time we get to 7, 8, 9 o'clock, we're seeing a better chance of some scattered storms. Some of those could produce some heavy rain and some blustery winds, but they shouldn't reach severe criteria. After that, we're fairly quiet overnight. There's midnight, and we'll start the day on a quiet note, but we could end up with some more scattered showers and thunderstorms. It's a 30% chance now on Thursday, and we started to see that last night, and we continue that forecast for today. You can see this time it's more, you know, the northern counties there at 5 o'clock, a few isolated showers and thunderstorms, and then that starts to move on by and out of here right about the time we get to sunset. So in terms of precipitation between now and the end of the week, we do have the chance of seeing more significant rain back to the west, as much as 1 to 2 inches. We're starting to dry out a little bit more over the weekend. For Saturday and for Father's Day, just a 10 to 20% chance. But for Monday, for Juneteenth, that chance goes up. Now, of course, Juneteenth is is on Monday, but the Capital City Juneteenth celebration is Saturday. It's going to be a hot one. Find a shady spot, but it will be mostly sunny, so you should be able to get out and enjoy. And for Father's Day, definitely looking hot, 90 degrees. And we do have a lot of 90-degree days in the forecast. For Juneteenth itself, as I mentioned, we have a chance of some scattered thunderstorms, and it turns cooler for us on Tuesday. So, Jeff, you got to get out and enjoy that birthday.
I certainly will. I'm planning on taking advantage of it right before that rain starts in some of the area here. Thanks for the sunshine.
Glass for a national celebration. Sorry, Jeff, not your birthday, a national celebration, because it's National Bourbon Day, the origin of the adult beverage. That's after the break.
I could celebrate that.
Yeah.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. This morning, Governor Roy Cooper signed a bill making sports gambling a law, and it allows people to bet on professional and college sports through mobile apps and at 8 in-person locations. Gambling won't start until at least January, though, because it'll take time for the State Lottery Commission to get everything set up for it.
And a special memorial happened today for a Wake County K-9 officer killed in the line of duty. Dozens of law enforcement agents attended. K-9 Santos was accidentally shot by a Knightdale police officer while assisting with an investigation. The K-9 joined the sheriff's office in 2016, making him the longest serving K-9 there.
A plan to ease traffic backups in the Triangle isn't getting rave reviews. The Durham-Chapel Hill-Carrboro Metropolitan Planning Organization discussed the state's redesign idea this morning. It's for the 15501 interchange with I-40. Local leaders say almost none of the plan fits into its vision for the area. Engineers emphasized today that this is preliminary and there will be more conversations to come.
Bottoms up, it's National Bourbon Day. So what makes a whiskey a bourbon? Well, among the criteria, it must be distilled in the U.S., be made from a mash of at least 51% corn, and barreled in new charred oak barrels at no higher than 125 proof. Some other fun facts, the drink gets its name from Bourbon County, Kentucky, and 95% of bourbon comes from that state.
The Vegas Golden Knights are Stanley Cup champions. The team won the championship with a huge 9-3 win over the Florida Panthers last night, closing out the series 4-1. Vegas fans celebrated outside T-Mobile Arena and inside as well all throughout the game as their team cruised to victory. It is the first Stanley Cup championship for the Golden Knights. For the first time in 75 years, the U.S. Open takes place in Los Angeles. And you can watch all the golf action right here on WREL. Coverage begins tomorrow at 8 p.m. and continues throughout the weekend. LIV golfer Brooks Koepka, many others will be there. Koepka most recently won the PGA Championship a few weeks ago.
Our pet of the day is an incredibly loving and affectionate kitty from Cat Angels NC. This is Thumper. Thumper is an incredibly affectionate, loving, playful, and hilarious young kitty who loves people. As soon as she's done playing, she wants to curl up on your lap, and she might do well as an only cat, but she does enjoy playing with other cats. Interested adopters can complete an application on the Cat Angels website.
Classes are out. Kids have more free time now that it's summer, and today on WREL News at 4, how to keep your child away from screens while keeping them entertained as well.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
You get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Oh, look at that view from Carolina
nice.
Beach. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.